and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 14th, 2007. I'm Mike, and with me as always is Edge Guy. How's it going, Edge Guy?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You've had a pretty exciting week.
I've had a very exciting week. I'll get to it when we go through the news section, but to tease it a little bit, I got to meet a bigwig of the gaming industry.
The Castlevania guy.
Well, now you just ruined it, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah,
his name is cool. His name is... Right, I'll talk about it now. Why not? Yesterday at Universal City Walk LA, Koji Igarashi, most famously known as the director of Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Wait, what else did he do?
He also did all the Castlevania games on the GBA and the DS and the recent PS2 Xbox One, whose name is escaping me. And he did a few other things at Konami before then, nothing huge. Like, I think he did, like, a dating game. But he was there. He was there for 2 hours. I got there about 45 minutes before it started. Went in after about an hour of waiting in the line. Got to meet him. He signed my Game Boy Advance SP Silver, and I had a pristine copy of the original Castlevania for the NES that he signed, that he seemed to really, really get a kick out of, so that was cool. And also, he signed the DVD insert for the upcoming PSP Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles. And so when the game comes out, I could swap that out and put it in the signed one and be all cool.
And you won't give me anything.
Nope, it's all mine.
You're a jerk.
I know.
But, okay, let me talk about what we're going to do in this show today.
Let's do it.
Well, besides, you know, we just did that, we're going to be doing news first, as always. Then we're going to move on to the best ever. Got a good one in store for you today, Edge Guy.
I'm excited.
Then we're going to talk about the games we've been playing this week and our week in gaming. Then it's Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. Then you're going to talk about the downloadable games that are coming out this week. And then I'm going to talk about the regular weekly game releases, and that'll be the whole show.
Sounds exciting.
Yes, it is. So I think you have to take us to the wonderful land of video game news now.
All right. We have news aplenty this week. We'll start off, as typical, with some Guitar Hero and Rock Band stuff.
Okay.
To start with, Guitar Hero on the DS apparently will use some sort of guitar peripheral and not the touchscreen.
Surprising.
They haven't said it, what it looks like or anything yet. My guess would be it's like kind of like a guitar controller, and the DS will clip into it via the GBA slot, and that way you can like look down at it on the top screen of your DS while you're playing the guitar. So you'd look really weird doing it, but it could be fun.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Yes.
I remain skeptical.
Regarding Guitar Hero on other systems, we also have it now confirmed for both the PC and the Mac.
That's an interesting twist.
Well, it kind of seems a no-brainer because, I mean, the 360 guitar is just a USB controller. There's no reason, like, it's not any more hardware they have to make. They just have to do a little coding to get it onto the PC and Mac platform, and that's it.
True enough.
And then, speaking of the wired 360 controller, if you buy the Rock Band bundle for 360, you're getting a wired controller. Because of Microsoft's proprietary wireless format, the wireless controllers cost a little bit more, and so they won't be part of the bundle, but they will be available separately. On the PS3, you will get a wireless controller because that uses standard Bluetooth.
Now, the interesting argument I hear from everybody is a real guitar has a wire.
Exactly.
So
I'm a little miffed. I kind of want a wireless controller, but I also don't want to have to pay like $1,000,000,000, so I guess I'll just make do.
Right.
I certainly don't want it on the PS3.
Wait, the PS3 Rock Band is going to come with a wireless guitar controller.
Yes, it does.
Oh, well. See, that's like a positive PS3 thing, and you had to like spin it so it was like negative.
I know. It is good. The only reason I want it on the 360 is because I already have a Guitar Hero 2 guitar, so right off the bat I'm doing two players.
All right.
Moving on. So, Call of Duty 4, first of all, we talked about this last week. The level cap went up, and word on the street is it's going to go up one more time before the beta's done, I believe to a maximum of 24 is what I heard.
24, jeez.
Yeah, this was just, I mean, this take with a grain of salt. It was a bunch of players in some games I was playing this week were talking about it. I don't have any hard source for this.
Eh.
But, you never know. It could be true, and it would be cool because I think the max level in the full game is going to be 55, so that'll take us almost halfway with the beta. When the game does come out to retail, it will not initially have a co-op mode for the single-player campaign, although Infinity Ward has not ruled out the possibility of patching it in at a later date. Do you care?
No, not really.
Me neither. I like co-op and all, but like the Call of Duty games, I don't think really need it.
If you're gonna make a good FPS co-op, I think it has to be like built with that in mind.
Yeah, like that's why Gears works so
right.
well.
Oh, that's not FPS, but shooter. But yeah, that's why I like Gears so much. And I mean, I played through the Gears campaign mode like a couple times, but I never played a single chapter of that game single player.
Mm-hmm.
Once, I mean, I played through it normal with you, then I played through it on insane mode with another friend. I mean, that is the modern co-op classic, I think. It's that game's kind of a throwback in that sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, like the old games like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Like Joe and Mac.
NES. Oh, Joe and Mac.
Yeah, we don't really get these great co-op games anymore.
Nah, it's kind of on the comeback. You've got like Army of Two and Battlefield Bad Company.
You know what? I loved our Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but I played the whole thing single player.
I actually sold that.
I really liked that. Didn't you like that?
It was good. I found I wasn't really playing it a whole ton, and I was able to get like $25 or $30 trade-in credit for it, so I just sold it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that game was surprisingly long.
Yeah, I think that was the problem. Like, beat-em-ups, when they're too long like that...
Oh, yeah. I meant as a compliment, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot.
Okay.
But we totally taken a huge tangent there. That was fun.
Well, yeah, yeah.
To go on another tangent, we come back to my good friend Igarashi, and word came out this week that if he does make a next-gen Castlevania, he's currently favoring the 360. According to him, Castlevania is most popular in America, so he would want to make it for the system that's most popular in America, which would be the 360. He said if MGS4 pushes PS3 sales, he would consider doing that as well. Did I mention I met him?
Yeah, you met him. Well, Capcom has had a lot of success on the 360 so far.
Indeed.
With, what, Dead Rising, Lost Planet, like games that a lot of people say were just okay have seen pretty good sales on that system.
And I mean, granted,
in America.
Part of that was those games came out at a time when really, I mean, regarding Dead Rising at least, it was the end of the summer, there wasn't really much else out, and the PS3 wasn't even out yet, so that game kind of won by default. Lost Planet actually came out like after a pretty competitive holiday, and it still did pretty well.
Yeah, that came out after Gears, so...
Yeah.
By the way, what you said 360 is the most popular system in America? That's not true.
Well, not counting the Wii. That comes by
not counting the Wii.
Because he said he's not sure if he wants to use the Wii yet. If he could find a compelling way to work the whip mechanic of Castlevania with the Wiimote, he'd do that. But he's more interested in working on, like...
Right.
Either, like, you know, something of the level of the 360 or PS3.
Right, yeah, I don't know how you would do that. So many people, they'd be like, oh, a Castlevania game in the Wii would be great with the whip. You just, you know, whip your Wiimote around. They don't really think about, like, what that means.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, I'm going to throw my Wiimote around and the whip's going to, no.
No, it doesn't work like that. I mean, worst case scenario would be, like, it sounds like the way the upcoming LEGO Star Wars on the Wii is going to be, where really... waving the Wiimote is just the equivalent of pushing a button.
Like Zelda.
Yeah, I guess Zelda did do that, yeah. So, I mean, that's not really doing you any favors.
I wonder if that Project Hammer was going to do something different, but that was canceled.
Yeah, well, I'll jump to that right now.
I guess
Project Hammer was canceled.
Yeah, I guess that tells you about, you know, how that kind of control scheme would work on the Wii. Apparently not so well.
I wonder, was it called Project Hammer or Project Hammer?
Well... I believe we were supposed to think that Hammer was some sort of acronym or something.
Yeah, and now we'll never know.
I guess not. We'll never understand the deep story behind Project Hammer.
Yeah.
I guess he'll never be a Smash Brothers character, the Project Hammer guy. he'd be the best unlockable character ever.
Yeah, that would be kinda
crazy.
How
more obscure can you get? People would love it. This guy's game wasn't even released.
Then watch, he'd get all kind of fan buzz, then the game would get back on track.
Yeah,
kind of
like how we finally got a Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
Alright, well, Interesting rumors flying out of Blizzard, as always. Apparently, a guy, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what site he said he was from, but he was just in the halls of Blizzard, and he was there for a story, and he overheard two staffers walking down the hall talking to each other. Apparently, the conversation went, "Hey, what game are you working on? I'm working on StarCraft 2. How about you? I'm working on Hydra." And, of course, now everybody wants to know, what the hell is Hydra?
If it's... I really just want Diablo 3.
Me too. Like, there was that game that came out last year called Titan Quest, which met good reviews. Everyone said it was fine. I played the demo. And while I was playing the demo, I was like, you know what? I'd rather just go play Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Diablo 2 is just a lot of fun, and... I mean, I just want something like that. And I mean, not like that. I want something exactly like it.
Yeah.
You know,
I just want like Diablo 2 with really good like 3D graphics that plays exactly the same, with like more character classes, more crazy abilities that I can just play for hours on end.
And I mean, it's interesting because it's not a fantasy or a sci-fi world, which, you know, we see a lot from Blizzard and pretty much every gaming company.
Yeah, it's more just kind of straight up medieval with some magic thrown in. It's not really fantasy though, because it's just humans and demons.
Right, and demons, you know. But I like Diablo. That's probably my favorite Blizzard franchise. And I don't know. I've just been waiting for that.
Yeah. Of course, there were also rumors that another Warcraft RTS might be coming too.
Well,
I think that'd be fine. It's just that it seems odd to do that would happen with StarCraft II coming. That they would be working on two RTS titles at the same time.
I bet if there is a Warcraft RTS, it's going to be like... Timeline-wise, it's going to be like a prequel or something. Because, I mean, I don't know. Because they're not going to want to set it after World of Warcraft. Because they still want to create this illusion that, like, what those players are doing is important.
Yeah.
You know? But enough of that.
Yes. Well, for those of you who read our blog, saw my excitement on Tuesday when the Orange Box went up for a pre-order on Steam. The Orange Box, for those who don't know, includes Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal, and Team Fortress 2. If you pre-order it on Steam, you save 10% off the regular retail price of $49.95. And apparently a bunch of stores, too, are offering 10% off either the PC or console versions if you pre-order. Like, I think Amazon is doing 10% off both versions if you pre-order it from them. For those of you who pre-order on Steam, though, you will be playing Team Fortress 2 with me on Monday. And I am incredibly excited because I've been waiting 8 years to play this game, and on Monday I'm playing it. And you're getting the 360 version, so you don't get to play it.
I'll get those sweet achievements, though.
Yes, because the 360 version of the Orange Box has 99 achievements spread across all 5 games.
Some of them are pretty cool. One of the achievements was, just for normal Half-Life 2, was beat Ravenholm only using the gravity gun.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah, that one sounded cool. The problem is, since there's so many achievements, they're all like 5 points, 10 points, you know?
Yeah. But,
That game should have broke the 1,000 limit rule, because it's like, what? It's really like almost 5 games.
Well, I'm guessing that they'll have some way of releasing Episode 3 so that, like, it'll acquire the Orange Box, and then that'll fall into, like, the 250 more points for an expansion rule.
I was kind of hoping I would just be able to download Episode 3.
Maybe you will. Who knows? Kind of I'm Shivering Isle or something.
I'm really hoping that they just don't make Episode 3 and they just start working on Half-Life 3. The real Episode 3.
Yeah. But along with all this goodness, we also got the Meet the Engineer video.
That was pretty funny.
I enjoyed it very much.
Team Fortress 2 related, yes. I think it was very funny. I mean, I wish, you know... You guys could see it, but this is an audio podcast.
Yeah.
So go find that and watch that on your own time. Not right now, though. Keep listening to us for now.
Yeah. Listen to it when we're done. It'll be fun.
Watch it when we're done. You said listen to it. It's
yeah,
a video.
You could listen to it, too. He's playing a guitar. It's good times.
That was your class in Team Fortress, right?
I was either the engineer, if I was defense, or demo man, if I was out on offense.
I was never
pretty fierce.
I was never much of a demo man fan.
I just liked him on Canal Zone, too, because I could always sneak into the control room, set up the dead pack, and reset all their command points. Hmm.
I'll tell you what, if they don't release Rock, the map on for Team Fortress 2, I might have to switch over to Fortress Forever.
Yeah.
Because that does have Rock.
What a good segue, Mike. Actually, I haven't played Rock on that yet, but Fortress Forever came out today.
Right.
For those of you interested in it, well, today being Thursday, for those of you interested in it, it is a source mod that aims to accurately recreate the original Team Fortress and Team Fortress Classic experience. So if you don't think you're going to dig the whole Team Fortress 2 art style or play style, if you're upset about the omission of secondary grenades, or if you're cheap, you can download this version. I played it a bit today. I was on, I played Well, Shutdown 2, and another map whose name I don't remember. That it was a new one. It was a command point based one.
Man,
and
Shutdown 2, that brings back memories.
I forgot about
Shutdown 2.
It was good fun. I was actually playing a lot as the heavy weapons guy, because they have this system with him where in this version where his gun can overheat. But like, I found the rhythm for like firing and releasing. It really doesn't slow down your rate of fire at all, but it keeps it going, and like, I'm just unstoppable.
Nice.
I actually managed to, on Shutdown 2, do a complete flag run from flag to cap point without anyone even seeing me, which I thought was kind of weird.
Are you sure you weren't playing with bots again?
No, I was not, thank you.
All right, okay.
I was actually playing with Sean Elliott from Games for Windows Magazine. He had some obscene name for his character, Obesia something or other.
Interesting.
Good fun.
Yes, but enough with the Fortress.
Sadly. So yeah, on Monday, everybody, we're playing. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. In Tokyo, we have the beginnings of the Tokyo Game Show, starting off with the Microsoft press conference. Some fun stuff came out of that. They announced a bunch of Xbox Live Arcade games. And after much speculation, we are getting Rez HD and Ikaruga on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yay, Ikaruga.
Yay, both of them. I'm so excited, because Rez, like, remember we rented it once, but didn't really
we
play
rented
it much?
I didn't really get it.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it at the time, though. I didn't realize, like, this game was going to become so, like, rare and stuff. I really wanted to play it again, but, of course, you can't find it anywhere. And Ikaruga, which we have for the GameCube,
mm-hmm.
but just the thought of online play with that is just
exciting. I love Ikaruga. Ikaruga
oh,
is
so
intense.
Fun. It's so hard, yeah. But it's so fun.
Oh, it's such a... I'm pretty sure it's the best kind of its game.
Oh, definitely.
As far as those side-scrolling shooting games. Oh, yeah. It is amazing.
Then they also announced every Extend, Extra, and Exit coming to the Xbox Live Arcade as well.
All right.
Both of those were PSP games.
Yeah.
But they were both supposedly pretty good, so might be worth checking out the demos for them at least. Mm. We also saw the reveal trailer of Ninja Gaiden 2 after some screenshots were prematurely released on the Japanese Xbox website. Apparently the game's a lot bloodier than previous iterations. Ryo was shown with some Wolverine-like claws and these weird ski boots with spikes on them. Graphically, it looked a lot like
Sigma.
Recently released Sigma, just had a lot more going on. And apparently they're pretty far along in development, according to Itagaki, so it should be coming out next holiday season.
Well, there you go. That's a 360?
Yep, 360 exclusive, because it's being published by Microsoft.
It's kind of bizarre. But I wonder what they bothered with that Sigma thing for.
Well, probably after Sigma happened, Microsoft's like, well, crap, we don't want Ninja Gaiden 2 to come out on the PS3. Hey, we'll publish it for you. Here's a sack full of money.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, coming out of their press conference, Japan got two new colors of controllers, baby blue and pretty pink.
All right.
My name's not theirs.
Get those controllers until your baby's cribs, I guess. You gotta have them learn at a young age.
Yeah, start them young.
Whatever.
Yeah, doesn't really matter. And
all right. Is that it?
No, two more things.
Okay,
So when Halo 3 launches on September 25th, everybody's Xbox Live account will be a gold account for 3 days.
Oh, right. Finally, I'll have a gold account.
Oh, wait. You have a gold account.
Oh, yeah. I have a gold account. So does everyone else who probably cares about Halo.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is cool, too, if you're not even, like, a Halo person, but you just have a silver for whatever. You get some free time to play online that weekend. Or not even
I guess
weekend,
so.
Just a few days.
If you have a 360, get a gold account, God.
Yeah,
what's
it's
wrong
worth
with
it.
You? What's wrong with you? Did you see that new Halo 3 commercial?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up with this, and I really liked it. A lot of people are like, oh, it's disgraceful to veterans. I was like, not really.
I don't think it's disgraceful, but I think it's kind of like the same thing that happened with Gears of War, where, like, the most emotion and, like, the best storytelling going on in the whole game is in, like, the advertising.
Yeah, I can see where that's a worry, but,
it is a worry. Because, I mean, I just read on a Kotaku or something, it was some game person, I think Jaffe, was talking about how he doesn't get Halo. And he doesn't understand how everyone buys into it as some, like, epic story, you know? And people, like, think they're emotionally involved with it, and I completely agree with him.
Some people just really get into it, because...
But there's nothing... Like, I can understand how people like it as an FPS. But in terms of, like, storytelling, it is nothing significant at all. It is one of the more generic sci-fi, here come the invading alien plots. I mean, come on, the main character's name is Master Chief. Like, break that down. His name is Master Chief.
Well, that's a military
Okay, his name's a military rank. I mean, it's gonna...
I just, because they released just today, too, a follow-up commercial where it was just kind of,
Really?
It was just the camera kind of flying around that big diorama set. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you listen to that guy in the first one, he talks about when the Master Chief let off his grenade, I was in the back of a Warthog or whatever. They show, like, a brute holding Master Chief by the neck, but you see the grenade in his hand. I'm wondering if they didn't just blow the ending of Halo 3.
What do you mean?
Like, Master Chief detonates a grenade on himself, taking out, like, the brute leader and saving everything? I don't know.
Is this a brute?
Yeah, but if he blows up a grenade in his hand, I don't think he's doing too well.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he has that shield thing.
Oh, that's
true.
I don't
think that's the end.
That's very true.
I don't know.
There's also someone released a pretty funny spoof where they used the same video and the British guy asking the questions, but they did their own version of the old guy talking. And so it gets to the part where the guy's like, how did you keep it together? The old guy's like, well, I was getting ready to shoot, and then I heard a voice that sounded like some 12-year-old boy saying that I was a fucking retard, and I was gay, and I liked to suck dick, and I was a fucking queer, and that my mother did lewd acts. And he just keeps going as it fades out, which I thought was very, very true of the actual Halo 3 multiplayer experience.
And we also have our first explicit podcast now.
Yep.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, warning, we might curse sometimes.
Good old cussing.
Indeed. And so our last news story, and this is kind of a sadder one, is Fastest Studios, after much rumors, is no more. Mitch, can't remember his last name, I should have wrote this down. Something. He's the guy who was the head of FASA. He put a post up on the community forums saying that the end had come. They have, like, three guys who are remaining to do, like, Q&A stuff for Shadowrun. Although, apparently, and I didn't try this yet, but apparently the cross-platform play for Shadowrun isn't working right now. Whether that has anything to do with this or not is kind of troubling, because I have the PC version. I don't think that many other people do. But, most of the employees got reassigned to different divisions within Microsoft, so fortunately not too many people lost their jobs over it. But this just kind of is upsetting because it decreases the chances we'll ever get a Crimson Skies sequel.
Wait, those are the guys who made Crimson Skies?
These are the guys, they did Crimson Skies, they did Shadowrun, and they did all the Mech Warrior and Mech Assault games.
Oh, jeez, I knew the Shadowrun guys got fired. I didn't realize that it was this studio.
Yeah, I mean, these are the same guys who did High Road to Revenge, which was one of the better games on the original Xbox. So, I mean, I'm sure Microsoft still owns that IP.
I think we could still see a Crimson Skies game.
Yeah, it just might be slower coming now. I don't know.
But, no, it's too bad.
Yep.
I mean, Shadowrun is not as bad of a game as people will make it out
it
to
isn't.
Be.
It isn't. It's very... Like, it's not meant for the mainstream at all. You really need to take your time and learn everything and learn all these combos and stuff. And once you do that, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And its graphics aren't the best. Like, the character models are kind of lame and a bunch of animations seem like they're missing. But still a good game.
Okay.
Worth checking out.
All right. Well, that was like 25 minutes in news.
There you go. It was a busy week.
I guess so. You need to trim it down next time.
I thought I did trim it down. There's only like That's a lot of news. That's only half a page on my Word document.
All right. Let's just move on now.
All right.
To the best ever.
All right.
And I think it was several days ago now. It was September 9th. And you know what happened back in 1999 on September 9th.
The Dreamcast was bestowed upon us.
Right. So this week we will be doing the best Dreamcast game ever.
Ooh.
Yeah, I told you you'd like this one.
This is a good one.
So what are some favorite Dreamcast games of yours off the top of your head?
Well, the one I always play every Dreamcast day is one of the original launch games, probably still one of the best games on the system, and that would be Soul Calibur.
The original Soul Calibur.
To this day, still looks good, plays fantastically, and it's really the only fighting game I ever put enough time and effort into to actually learn combos and moves and stuff for all the different characters outside of Mortal Kombat. So I think that speaks a lot, because Virtue Fighter and Dead or Alive I never really had the patience for, but I played me a lot of Soul Calibur.
I like Soul Calibur also, but I think Soul Calibur 2 might be the best of that series.
I never really owned it.
Okay, but ahead. I actually have a fighting game on Dreamcast that I like more than that.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
That was such a good game.
That's still one of my favorite fighting games. Probably is my favorite one after maybe Smash Brothers Melee. But yeah, Super Mario vs. Capcom 2, it's just the 3-on-3 system, just crazy. It's just over the top in all the best kind of ways.
Yeah.
All those crazy attacks. And I mean, getting Captain America to pull off his final Justice move.
That was cool.
That is nothing else. I mean, and that was a fun game to play in the arcades too. Get to challenge people to that and just kind of. I mean, you know, it was just crazy. I mean, plus it had 50 some characters. I mean, I love it when a fighting game has a bunch of characters, and they're all pretty well developed. But yeah, I loved Marvel's Capcom too.
Another one I was playing it a lot on Dreamcast Day this year was the racing game based off Star Wars Episode 1 called Episode 1 Racer. It's a pod racing game. It also came out on the PC and the N64. That may be my favorite racing game. It's really fun.
Did you ever play the sequel that came out for PS2?
I never did.
Huh.
Apparently it wasn't that good, so I just kind of stayed away from it because I didn't want to ruin the memory of Pod Racer.
Uh-oh.
It was very fast. It had the speed down. The music was, you had the Star Wars music playing. Just a really fun game.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. Remember the first online Dreamcast game?
Which was Choo Choo Rocket?
Choo Choo Rocket. That's a game that needs to show up on Xbox Live.
Yeah, that's custom made for Xbox Live Arcade. It's up on GameTap, and I've played it on there a couple of times.
It is?
Yeah, it's the Dreamcast version emulated.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, it plays well with the 360 control and everything. So, yeah, that'd be a perfect game to come on Xbox Live Arcade.
Definitely. But speaking of online games, I have to talk about Phantasy Star Online.
Oh, my God. How many hours did we spend playing that game?
I played that a lot. Which is weird, because, I didn't play Episode 2 very much. I didn't play, the card one, episode? Was that called Episode 3, the card game?
Yeah.
Well, that's not so weird, didn't play that, but I mean, I never even touched Phantasy Star Universe. But Phantasy Star Online, I played a lot of.
It sucked when the second one came out, because that's when it started charging a monthly fee for it.
But what were those things called that floated over you, the Mogs?
Mags.
Mags. We know those things were powerful and you pulled off the super.
I was obsessed with those damn things.
Yeah, and the boss fights with the three people, It was good co-op fun.
Fighting that dragon never got old.
No.
I love that dragon.
Final boss fight was epic. That was good stuff. I mean, it was kind of a dungeon crawl when I think about it, but it was just a lot of fun. It was a pretty solid. I mean, it's still one of the few online action games that works.
And even Phantasy Star Universe is not that good, which is really upsetting.
Well, did you play it?
I played the beta when they had it.
Oh,
okay. You know, in PSO, the three vendors are just standing right next to each other.
Right.
Well, they have what is essentially the same three things, but they're in this huge mall, and each one's half 500 yards away from each other, and you have to go into another room that loads separately. And then, like, it took me, the first time I played the beta, it took me 30 minutes just to figure out where to go to start playing a mission.
That's lame.
It was, like, back in this corner with, like, no indicators whatsoever. It was just, this is really strangely made.
Yeah. But Phantasy Star Online, fantastic. Original Sonic Adventure, that was a lot of fun when I first played it.
Because that was, like, that first time you saw that killer whale. Where we were in Funko Land and we saw it. Remember, that kid wouldn't stop playing it and we never got to try it that day.
I mean, people like to rag on the 3D Sonic games, but, I mean, that was a lot of fun at first. Yeah. And there was a lot of promise for Sonic in 3D that, you know, Sonic 2, the Sonic levels were fine enough, but they started really introducing some of the retarded story elements.
Yeah, that's where we got our hajillion characters and...
I mean,
playing with Big, it was okay. I was like, alright, fine, I'm gonna do this because I want to be Super Sonic. But, like, why were we fishing in a Sonic game?
It was definitely a bizarre choice. That was, like, the hardest part of that game, too, is that fishing. I liked the 102, though. I thought he was cool back when that came out.
Yeah, he was fine. It was, like, fine in 1. Then in Sonic Adventure 2, when you were Tails Robotnik. And
well, that's because those levels took forever.
Oh, they were, like, the longest levels in the history of gaming.
They were. You had to play one of those for 20 minutes so that you could do a Sonic level for 2 minutes. It was horrible.
Oh, it was terrible.
But moving away from Sonic, another one of my favorite Dreamcast games, this might be the one for me really, is Samba de Amigo.
Oh man, I almost forgot about that.
Still might be my favorite music game, and I think you'll agree that it was the one music game that I was fantastic at.
You were very good at it. You were fierce with those maracas.
I was. It had like that Sega soundtrack in it, you know, like starting with the Saturn, like Sega had this like habit of like putting a lot of J-pop songs and just like other songs into all their games, like the Burning Ranger song, the Knights song, which people were complaining. You know they released that Knights trailer.
Yeah, people had, were like, complaining Dreams, about Dreams, the music. I was like, "F you guys, that's classic Knights music."
People were like, "This is stupid." I'm like, it's so typical of like these bloggers. They like want to be all hardcore and stuff. They're like, oh yeah, Knights, make a Knights sequel. That'd be awesome. They don't know shit about Knights.
Exactly, because, I mean, that is exactly what I wanted that trailer to do, was play that music. And then they're like, oh, this is dumb. I'm like, you didn't even play Knights, did you? You don't even know what Christmas Knights is.
They don't know. Knights is awesome. That kind of music is awesome. Samba de Amigo is littered with it. And it had a pretty good soundtrack besides that, too. And Samba de Amigo, freaking good.
One last game I gotta bring up. That eventually did come to the PS2, but the Dreamcast version was a lot better, is Grandia 2.
That was actually a fun game.
That was cool because it would, like, when you did your special attacks, it would mix in hand-drawn anime elements on top of the real-time 3D. Had a really cool battle system and a really good soundtrack, and good voice acting, too.
Right. Oh, and Skies of Arcadia came out around the same time as that.
Yeah,
there was, like, a big debate over which one
was
better.
I was playing Grandia 2 more. But that, right. Like, that was also really cool. Just because, like, the whole Sky Pirate thing was a really cool setting.
It was. Some other Dreamcast games?
See, nothing's really jumping out at me. Like, Jet Grind Radio was fun.
Oh, Jet Grind Radio was fun.
Just that, like, for me, it just, like, sometimes the controls were a little imprecise when you're trying to navigate the environment. That got that got on my nerves a lot. Like, when I played that this week, too, and in the second stage, there was this part you had to, like jump off a grind rail, get on top of this crane, skate along the neck of the crane until it became a grind point, and then jump off that. And I could not do it for the life of me because I had, like, these guys shooting tear gas at me. It was just frustrating. But, like, when the game's working, it's working well. But for me, it got frustrating a lot.
Were you a Crazy Taxi fan?
Oh, yeah, because I love that song.
Yeah, it's a fun game. Not a whole lot of depth to it.
No, but. I mean, it was just a good, quick and dirty arcade port that it was just, you know, a fun game to bust out and play every so often.
Do you remember the name of that Capcom game with, like, it was just like a cannon spike or something where you got to play as, like, different Capcom characters, like Mega Man and some Street Fighter people, and you just went around and shoot things?
Yeah, it was something like that. I vaguely remember this. Did we have
that? That was kind of fun. Yeah, I had it.
Okay.
It was very simple. Oh, you know what else? There was that, what's it called? Dynamite Cop? It was like kind of like the sequel to Die Hard Arcade.
With the QuickTime events. That's where they started.
Was it Die Hard Arcade?
Yeah, Die Hard Trilogy Arcade, then it became Dynamite Cop.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, just a simple beat-em-up, but a lot of fun.
Was it Die Hard? That doesn't sound
right.
Yeah,
it was
now.
Die Hard Trilogy Arcade.
Die Hard Trilogy Arcade was something different.
No. There was,
I'm thinking
there,
of the arcade game there, that we had for Saturn.
What game was that?
Ugh. Okay, let's forget about it, because I don't even know. We're gonna... All right, but Dynamite Cop, whatever. It was a fun action beat-em-up game.
Yeah. And I think one last one that mentions merits mentioning is Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Yeah, a lot of people bring that up, actually, when you talk about favorite Dreamcast games.
Because as far as, like, I really didn't like the old Resident Evils much. I didn't like the controls. Like, the whole tank mechanic I thought was kind of cumbersome. But for some reason, like, I played through quite a bit of it. I didn't beat it, but I played more of it than I had any other Resident Evil game. I really liked it.
Right. Well, I'm sure we're forgetting something, but I think we probably both picked our favorites at this point.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you go ahead first. Favorite Dreamcast game.
Best Dreamcast game ever. I'm going to have to go with, I think, Phantasy Star Online, actually.
Okay, I like that.
Just because, aside from, like, World of Warcraft and Pokemon, I think I've never put more hours into another game. And it was just, I mean, it was so groundbreaking, because that was, like, really the first true online console experience, and it was just fantastic.
You know, me and Chris we bought separate Dreamcasts just so we could play together.
Yeah.
Of course, this is when the Dreamcast was already dying and they were already so cheap,
yeah.
But still, it was devotion.
Yeah, I still have my Dreamcast keyboard.
Right. So for me, even though I want to say that Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is actually the close second,
uh-huh.
Very close second, I'm going to go with Samba de Amigo.
Very nice.
Mostly because I was just so sweet at it.
They need to make that on the Wii. Like, hello.
But I bet you, no, I bet I wouldn't like it anymore, because they wouldn't have that same soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the thing. It basically needs to just port the Dreamcast game to the Wii. That's all.
Yeah. Make it for me. You had to download all the songs I liked, you had to download.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, but most of them. That's where I first heard that Burning Rangers song that I still listen to all the time now. Burning Rangers. All right. So, Phantasy Star Online, Samba de Amigo. Those are our best Dreamcast games ever.
Yep.
All right. But why don't we just move on to our weekend gaming?
All right.
Well, you always have your demos and stuff. Why don't you go first?
Demos. Well, I just today played the demo for Spider-Man: Friend or Foe. Stay away, everybody. Stay away.
Yeah. No reason to dwell on this. Give me the skimmy.
It's a crappy version of Marvel Ultimate Alliance, just with Spider-Man characters and a completely senseless plot.
Guys, there's more to the Marvel Universe than Spider-Man characters. I know that the only villains everyone knows about is Doc Ock and Green Goblin.
You can't even crawl on walls. It's not a Spider-Man game. It's a beat-em-up with Spider-Man characters. Like, everyone thought this was going to be, like, the apology for Spider-Man 3, and it's just awful.
I don't know how they thought that. The very first trailer they released with it looked retarded.
Yeah.
But what else did you try?
They released a demo for Tony Hawk's Proving Grounds.
Right.
Which, in addition to Nail the Trick from last year, they have Nail the Grab and Nail the Manual.
Don't they have Nail the Grind also?
I think it's just those three. I don't know. I didn't get to play through all the demo yet. I didn't have enough time. But after playing Skate, this is like a breath of fresh air, because it's like familiar.
I never thought I'd hear that. A Tony Hawk game is a breath of fresh air. God.
I mean, Skate is
good. I wonder if next year is... Yeah.
But like, it's just so different, and it really requires a big investment from you to like learn, because you're really like relearning how to play a skateboarding game. And this is just, like,
right.
Familiar and nice.
I wonder if, like, next year they'll add Nail the Pause button. Start running out of ideas. That was bad. Go on.
Yeah.
You playing real games or you got more demos?
No, I got some real games. I talked about Fortress Forever. I played a bunch of that this week. Something I forgot to mention, actually, is part of pre-ordering the Orange Box, you get Peggle Extreme. For those of you who don't,
oh, man.
Those of you who don't know what Peggle is, it is this very addictive game by PopCap where you just basically shoot this ball into the series of little like bouncy things, and you have to get all the orange ones. It sounds really simple, but like just go try the demo for Peggle. It's really addicting. And this one is it's Peggle themed around Half-Life 2, Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike, and Portal. It's very funny because like the main character is like this unicorn in the title screen. The unicorn has a head crab on his head that's like pulsating.
Yeah.
and the usual happy smiley face sun instead has the G-Man's face inside of it. So just silly stuff
it's
like that.
Creepy.
It's really crazy, but it's good fun. Go ahead, you talk about something. I think what else I played.
Well, I played Call of Duty 4 some more. So I got my level cap up to level 16. Everyone else is better than me in that game now. See, because that might be one problem is I mean, unless everyone's just level 16 now, I think they use that as like, do they use that as a matchmaking system as well?
I don't know. I don't know if that's also the matchmaking system or if there's something transparent. Because the thing is, even if you suck at the game, if you keep playing,
right,
you're gonna get to the max level.
That's my point. So I mean, if I, you know,
hopefully there's like a transparent. Like that Microsoft True Skills system, whatever they call it, that will also factor in matchmaking.
Right, but still really like that. I can't wait for the real thing so I can play some, you know, more levels. Mm-hmm. I rented Stuntman Ignition.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
It was just as much fun as the demo made it out to be,
cool.
If not more. I really liked that game. Huh. I had to return it today. I was a little sad. I was really sad because, there's like, I don't know, like 6 movies. And each movie has, like, I want to say, like, 6 or 8 scenes in it. Mm-hmm. And, like, the second to last movie is the James Bond movie, Never Kill Me Again. There's a lot of pretty good humor in it. Like, each movie has its own director that's a character and stuff. But the last movie is the Batman kind of knockoff.
Ooh.
Called Night Avenger, I think, which I didn't get to.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to rent it again. But, I mean, it's just a really fun game. It's kind of like a puzzle driving game in a way. Or, like, even, like, puzzle rhythm game, because, you know, you're sort of memorizing things. It didn't get reviewed that well, but I think people were a little too hard on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think, I don't know, I thought, I just have a lot of fun with it.
Right.
I can't give it, like, any, you know, I can't say it does anything really special or unique, but it was a lot of fun.
Good.
And for as much crazy stuff that goes on during that game, I only noticed one instance of slowdown.
Wow, that's impressive.
That was pretty impressive, yeah. But, and that was about it for me, right, except for like the other big thing I was doing.
Well, one more I've got is since I pre-ordered Orange Box, I finally got around to finishing Half-Life 2 Episode 1, which I actually never owned. I just played it.
No, I didn't.
I just played it on your computer, and the funny thing is, as I found out after I beat it, where I left off playing on your computer and I never picked it up again, I was literally about 2 minutes away from beating it.
Be careful. I never actually beat it myself yet.
Okay,
so.
Well, then I'll try to be ambiguous here, but I mean, it's I'm a little late to this party, but it's a really good game. It makes me excited for episode 2. Like, the AI for Alex, like, is probably the best companion AI I've ever seen in a game. And, like, she's never annoying or burdened or anything. And another feature of the game that, like, I actually played through it twice because I went back through it with the commentary mode turned on. And this was something they debuted it with, that Half-Life 2 Lost Coast kind of tech map they released. They're going to have
right.
it in episode 2. And what it is you play through the game and you're invulnerable, and there's these little word bubbles throughout the world. And you go up to them and you press use on them, and the developers will just give you commentary about, like, how they, you know, designed a certain, like, that chunk of the game, or like what kind of thought went into making this character or this like little scripted sequence. And you know, like, how you're always asking, like, why aren't more people ripping off Half-Life?
Right.
It's because it's
is it because Half-Life was really hard to
yeah,
make?
Yeah, like, stuff you would never think of because they make it so well. This stuff doesn't even occur to you, but the thought that goes into everything. Like, there's this one scene. You're in the Citadel as it's blowing up, and they want you to notice this carrier that flies up behind you, then flies down this hallway, but it's kind of crashing, and it like knocks into some walls and crashes. And the way that they get you to turn around before it comes is they put a Combine soldier up there. You don't have a weapon yet, but they have him shooting at you so that you instinctively turn towards him, then he runs off, and this thing flies up. And that's how they get you to look at it. And then they talk about
smart.
How, like, they used to have Alex, she would keep saying, like, if you just lingered around, she'd keep saying things like, hurry up, come on, we need to go. And they found players were hating her for that. And so they scrapped all of that and just decided that, like, she trusts your judgment and, like, what you should be doing so much that she's just willing to follow you. And as a result, everybody liked her a lot more. And
right.
just so many little nuggets of, like, just, you would never fathom this much thought went into making this game, because it just, everything fits so naturally that a lot of tricks had to be pulled to make it work like that. And it's really cool to play it. So if you have Half-Life 2 Episode 1, you haven't done the commentary, check it out, because it's really neat.
Okay, so is that it for Weekend Gaming?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Alright, then it's time to move on to the other game I've been playing. The game I've been playing really much more than any other game, in Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. Isn't that... That's such a good, peaceful song.
It is.
I should play that when I sleep at night.
You can play it to your kids when they sleep someday.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, man. I don't know what kind of effect that would have on them.
Yeah.
They'll be three and be like, need MP. Okay, I've been playing Final Fantasy VI.
Yep.
VI, which is... I haven't played all of them yet, but I can safely say it's one of the best in the series.
Yeah.
You played Lost. What's the furthest you've ever gotten, VI?
I'm trying to think. I want to say...
I mean, you did Opera House.
Yeah, I've done that. I think the last time I was playing on the Game Boy is the first I've gotten where the Espers have just started flying all over the place, and you're in the airship, and that octopus guy attacks you again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is it, because yeah, I was playing it on the plane from Italy. This was in March, and my battery died during the flight, and I got disgusted, and I haven't picked it up since.
Hmm. You know, you're almost at like kind of like the major halfway turning point.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's just very good. It really is, like, in terms of presentation, it is so far and above and beyond the other Final Fantasies before. It's like disgusting. like first off, like the sprites and like all graphically, it saw a huge upgrade from 4 and 5. Like 4 and 5, honestly, for Super Nintendo games, they don't really look that good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in, like, the world map, you have, like, a sprite that's, like, the size of your fingernail walking around everywhere. And when you get into battles, it looks a little better. But, like, the world map doesn't look all that good. The design of 4 and 5 is still very much, like, sort of following patterns set by Final Fantasy 1 still.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of simple. But 6, you finally get, like, unique-looking towns, some, like, interesting design choices beyond just, like, the obvious fantasy things. Like, some, you know, slightly post-apocalyptic things, some, what do you call that, steampunk?
Yeah.
Little bit of that in there. You got, it's also one of the few Final Fantasies, if not the only, where you don't have a main protagonist.
Yeah, it's just basically like whoever you play the most, they become your protagonist, right?
Right, which is fun for me because, like, you know, I like Locke,
uh-huh.
So I always get to put Locke in there. I just pretend he's the main character and, like, I could get away with
right.
it. Music-wise, it definitely has the best score.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just some... It's just very, very good music. Like there's been some moments in the other ones, but, like, almost, like, so many songs just stand out in this game. It's just
forever
bizarre, almost.
I have the song for Figaro stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah. There's just so many good songs. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, bum, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I'm glad I bought the soundtrack a while ago. I mean, you know how good 6 is. I played through the opera thing. That's still one of my favorite gaming moments ever.
I remember the first time I did that years ago when I was playing it on a buddy's copy that he lent me of the original Final Fantasy 3. I just read the script, not realizing it was going to be important. And then I went out there and had to, like, try to remember all those lyrics, and I got every single one right.
Nice.
I was so excited.
But even, like, the stuff that goes on before and after, the whole opera part of that game was just... It is very neat. It's interesting. You don't get to pick jobs or anything like in the other Final Fantasies, but you assign your abilities by equipping the Espers.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyone can learn whatever spells you want, but, like, certain characters have better magic stats than other. And it has the most playable characters of any Final Fantasy, including 3 unlockable characters.
Ooh.
The Mog, some Yeti, who I don't have yet, and then some like clown mime thing,
oh, yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So I'll be getting those eventually, I think. But I'm pretty far into it. I'm like 14 hours into it. Yeah. I'm kind of at the part of the game where, like, every Final Fantasy sort of has this part where just, like, basically goes makes you level up for a while.
Yeah, the grind part.
So that's kind of. Like, I have to go find all my party members again, basically.
Right.
So that's I've been doing that. Getting towards the end of that part, so I think it's safe to say I'll have that one licked by this time next
Excellent.
Week. But I love Final Fantasy VI. Can't say enough good things about that
good.
One. Okay, I guess that's it for Final Fantasy. You want to take us through the downloadable games coming out real quick?
Yeah, we got some other classics out this week. Very exciting stuff. So, on the Wii Virtual Console on Monday, we saw first up for the Nintendo Entertainment System, NES Play Action Football. I never played it. I was a Tecmo Super Bowl kind of guy.
I didn't play any of those.
Oh, Tecmo was awesome.
I didn't play a football game. Yeah, I didn't play a football game until Madden 97.
So the next game is Sonic the Hedgehog 3 from the original Sega Genesis.
It's a very good Sonic the Hedgehog. I've already owned it so many times.
There's no mention of how lock-on's going to work. I imagine they'll sell them all separately.
Probably.
But, you know.
Because Sonic and Knuckles with Sonic 3 locked on, that is the Sonic game.
Oh, it was epic.
Yes.
And then the last Virtual Console game is our good friend, the sequel to Newtopia, Newtopia 2.
Was Newtopia the first, that game we made fun of
before?
Yeah,
the Zelda ripoff. Here, I'll read you the description from this press release. Let's see it.
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Experience improved graphics and controls in this exciting sequel to the action role-playing game Newtopia. Take on the role of the main hero, Sun, and watch as the story begins with the apparent revival of Dearth, the evil demon. Once again, you'll need to rely on your magic compass and the information you've gathered to find entrances to labyrinths and defeat the bosses in them. Make your way through the field, which can be tricky at times, to search for and find hidden information and items, or move blocks and destroy walls to uncover secret rooms. Like the original, this game has a save function, a finely tuned difficulty level, and a fast-paced story, making it truly an RPG that everyone can enjoy.
Man, you could put that on the back of a Zelda game and I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, the only thing that doesn't fit is that you play as the original game's son.
Yeah.
Everything else, like even bringing back the main character, that's just like how they brought Ganon back in Zelda 2. This is bizarre. Man, they released a sequel pretty quickly on Virtual Console.
Yeah, seriously. Meanwhile, we're also Super Mario RPG.
Where's Newtopia 3?
Maybe it's coming.
That's what I want to know. It's coming out for the Wii. It's going to be really exciting.
Innovative Wiimote controls. Swing your Wiimote to swing your sword. I don't know.
Newtopia crossbow training.
Oh my god.
That's a new story for
that. Yeah, I completely forgot. I thought I wrote that down. I must have skipped it. But let's jump back real quick. if you buy the Wii Zapper, they mentioned E3 that it would come with a pack in game. That game is going to be Zelda Crossbow Training, so you could shoot stuff with a crossbow as Link. I don't know how deep it's going to be, but I'm guessing not very.
I hope the main character from Newtopia is a playable character in Smash Brothers Brawl.
That'd be awesome.
That would be.
Get this game just to check them out.
To play Newtopia.
So that's
okay.
It for the Wii.
That's enough on Newtopia.
Xbox Live Arcade, we got Sonic the Hedgehog 2, as opposed to 3.
Didn't people say that the emulation on Sonic 1 for the 360 wasn't all that good?
I had no problem with it. I didn't hear that.
I heard complaints. No. I don't know. But Sonic 2, you know, it's good.
It has Xbox Live Play, although I don't know if this means...
Xbox Live
Play.
Yeah,
I don't know if it means, like, for those lame races that they put in the game, or if, like... Like, they let you do the thing where the second player controls Tails through the single-player game. Because that'd be kind of
right.
Neat if they did that over live.
I guess so.
The only thing is, in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, that was before Tails could be manually flown by the second player. It was
three, that's right.
When he could fly around and pick up Sonic. That's when it got cool.
Yeah, he was actually kind of useful.
Yeah. So in the PSN saw two games come out this week. The first called Pixel Junk Racing. And I tried the demo for this, and it got better as it went. At first I was playing it thinking it was absolute garbage, but it's not terrible. The way it works is, think like those old Taiko racing things you'd buy with, like, you know, the little trigger you'd squeeze and the cards zoom around the track. Basically
right.
That, you're controlling with either the L2 or R2 button, but you can change the lane you're in with the D-pad. And every time you pass one of the little cars driving around, you get a speed boost, and then if you hit one from behind, you lose your boost. And so it actually becomes kind of cool, as you're like blazing along really fast, you're trying to like figure out what lanes they're in, you're changing lanes. Just that the view's so kind of far zoomed out, and everything's so tiny, it's really hard to see sometimes what lane people are in. Like, I can't imagine playing this game in standard def. It'd be impossible.
Right. What else was there?
We got High Stakes on the Vegas Strip Poker Edition. It's a 3D poker game. And from the sounds of it, sounds like they'll be making other games in the series, probably like Blackjack or something.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And then finally, we've got three new games out on GameTap this week, all for the PC. The first one is Commando Strike Force. It was an FPS based on the Commando series. I've never played it.
Wait, you don't mean the Schwarzenegger movie?
No.
Oh,
there was.
Oh, too bad.
The Commando series of games, they were overhead tactical games.
Oh, right. They're the Capcom.
Like, yeah, kind of like Fallout Tactics or even that Star Trek Away Team.
Okay,
like
you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
I kind of like Star Trek Away Team. I should have played that.
So yeah, they were like the World War II equivalent of that, and this is a FPS. It's set in the same kind of universe.
Right.
The next one is Battle Stations Midway, which came out, I think, last year on the PC and 360. It's kind of like this weird mix of a World War II action game and RTS. I played the demo for it. It's not terrible, so that's kind of worth checking out. And the last one is another missed ripoff called Aura Fate of the Ages.
All right.
So, have fun with that.
All right. You want to hear about the real game releases now?
Why not?
All right. Okay, so first off, for the PC, September 18th, World in Conflict.
Ooh.
You know, that real-time strategy game?
I played the demo for that, and I got my ass kicked playing the multiplayer. But it seems like if you were to learn it, it's really neat. And someone did drop a nuke on us, and it was one of the most impressive in-game effects I've ever seen. Hmm. It was really cool looking.
Sonic Rush Adventure on the DS, September 18th.
That came out of nowhere.
I didn't know this was coming out so soon.
I know, it just got like announced like 2 weeks ago, it seems like.
I'll tell you what, the first Sonic Rush gets way too much credit.
I think so. Like, it's fun, but, I mean, people complain that the old Genesis Sonic games were just holding down right. They're really not when you go back and play them.
There's a lot of platforming in those.
Yeah, Sonic Rush is holding down right.
Yeah, it really is.
With occasionally hitting the R button to make yourself go up a few extra
feet.
Yeah,
or like occasionally just like running into like nothing and dying and playing through it again.
Yeah.
And then knowing where to jump. No. So I'm not going to check this one out, you know what? Plus the story was god-awful. Christ.
They need to stop putting story in Sonic games.
Okay, My Sims, Wii and DS, September
18th. I heard it's not that good. People thought it might be fun.
Big surprise.
But yeah, seriously.
Stranglehold is coming out for the PS3 and PC September 18th.
Alright.
The PS3 version, that's coming with that movie, right?
If you get the special edition, yeah, it has the HD version of Hardboiled right on the same disc, actually. Now, that's a good use of Blu-ray. Like, I would consider getting the PS3 version over the 360 version for that.
Right. Eternal Sonata for the Xbox 360, September 17th.
I talked about that demo a while ago. It was fun.
It kind of looks interesting. I'd rather play that than Blue Dragon, I think.
Yeah.
Coded Arms, Cotision, maybe, for PSP, September 18th. I guess it's the follow-up to the first FPS for the PSP.
I thought that got canceled. Oh, no, the PS3 game got canceled.
Oh. Well, this one is still around.
All right.
Warriors Orochi. It's Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors collide in this warrior-heavy beat-em-up.
Do people for the Xbox really 360 still and PS2. Buy these games? They are the most boring games in the world, and I've played a bunch of them in demos and stuff. I can't distinguish one from the other. They are the same damn thing.
Yeah, it doesn't look all that exciting. Then we have Juice 2 on Important Nights for 360, PS2, and DS.
Some people like the original Juice. That guy got no beef with that.
Wasn't that kind of a Burnout ripoff?
More of a Need for Speed Most Wanted ripoff.
Okay. This game sounds original. Fantasy Wars for PC. Turn-based strategy game.
Oh, boy.
There's, like, an orc on the front cover. Looks like he's kind of, like... He looks like he has Down syndrome or something. He's just kind of smiling. Okay, we got Deft Spies for the PC, September 18th. Geez, I don't know. I never heard about Deft Spies.
Sounds quality.
I don't know what the heck this is. It looks like it might kind of... be like a thief game, but probably bad. Too bad. We need a new thief game. Yeah, I'm talking about Deft to Spies. I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. I saw the title and I thought there was potential there, but reading the description, not so much. Blazing Angels 2, Secret Missions of World War 2.
I played the demo on 360. I kind of like those games a little bit. I haven't bought them or anything, but they're not bad for what they are.
Coming out on Xbox 360, PC, September 18th. Glowlancer, Heritage of War for the PS2. This is apparently the fifth title in the Glowlancer series, which I've never heard of.
Never. Vaguely familiar, but I don't know anything about it.
It's a JRPG from the looks of it.
Right.
Digimon World Data Squad for the PS2 is September 18th.
They're still
Digimon
making
was a shit.
It was awesome back in the day.
I don't know what.
Like
this
the
is
first
about.
Season was cool, but.
Yeah, Digimon. I'll tell you what, they need to release that on DVD. I'd be all over.
When I bought that first Digimon game for the PlayStation, I had to like take my Digimon to the bathroom lest it pooped out in the wild. I was like, you know what? I don't really care if it poops in the woods. That's fine by me.
But remember, he was all ashamed of himself if he did it. He felt horrible about it.
I'm like,
God, I'll go poop in the woods. You don't see me complain. You're a freaking animal, a digital animal, still the same. And then we have Digimon World Dawn for the DS.
A little synergy.
I think this one's trying to be a bit more Pokemon-ish. Yes. Well, the other one's supposed to be more of like a traditional RPG, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then, finally, we have Siphon Filter Dark Mirror for the PS2. Was that the PSP game?
I don't know.
Is this just a port of that?
I don't know, but Siphon Filter's got its fans. I'm surprised they made another PS2 one rather than going to PS3, but then again, everyone has a PS2, so...
Right. Well, that's it.
All right.
Which I think brings us to the end of the podcast.
It does indeed.
All right.
That flew.
If you say so.
It's only an hour. We're good.
We're good. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening.
Yeah. Remind our listeners, we have our blog at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. If you go there, you can check out the pictures I got from my experiences with Igarashi-san. There's some shots of the line, a guy who cosplayed as Simon Belmont, who really shouldn't have. And me and the man himself. So go check that out. Let me know what you think.
All right, guys, go over there and make AJ feel good about himself.
Yes, I need my daily affirmation.
Yep. If you came here from 411, I want to thank you. Keep reading the full circle.
Make Michael feel good about himself.
Yeah, that's right. You can send me some mail. He's agguy71@gmail.com. That's it for this week. We'll see you here next time on the Exploding Barrel.
Later.